hello, everyone. Or should I say, you will be hearing this on the morning after Halloween. So be scared. I don't really know why, but let's just assume you're scared. Joining me today, I have... Oh, by the way, this is issue 70 of Elder Speak, podcast, official podcast of ElderGeek.com. Joining me today, I have Gavin Green.
Hey, everybody.
And Trevor Falconer.
A belated trick-or-treat.
And, of course, I'm your host, Mats Polska. We do not have any specific Halloween theme for you today. And that is simply because we're dead, and so we sort of celebrate Halloween every day, at least me and Gavin. So it's just, it gets a bit monotonous for us now. We're sick of it, to be honest.
Yes. Especially with all the doppelgangers running around on that day trying to be us.
Yeah.
They don't even commit to the part, you know? They're just like, oh, look, it's brains, and you're looking, and it's like they colored some sort of pasta pink so it looks like the folds of a brain. I'm like, why are you even going to bother? it's just insulting.
Yeah, yeah.
Trevor, what did you go as this year?
I don't go out because of the zombie apocalypse, and you can't trust a knock at your door these days. Usually you can tell because the deafening scratching of the door is usually the zombie, but you guys can get tricky. So I just shut off the lights and sit by the door with my AK.
Yeah.
That's about how I spend my Halloween.
Hey, Mons, you remember the first time you realized that a knock gets more people to the door than scratching? Oh, that was a good day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have another thing I do. I actually ring the bell, and then I run away.
Wow.
And then I run away.
That's clever.
Yeah, and they open the door, and while they're at the door, I sneak in the back window and attack them from behind.
Very nice.
Yeah.
A bit laborious, but no, I can see how that works. Yeah.
So it would, I mean, I would probably get to kill them by just knocking on the door and just attacking them as soon as they open the door. But this way I can sort of, you know, feel like I'm, you know, stealthy and smart and agile. And it makes people...
Yeah, it's a good ego boost.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, I think it relies...
The holiday, though.
You do?
I respect the holiday, yeah, because, you know, I'll gather 10, 20 hitchhikers for the week leading up, and then, you know, kick them wounded over the balcony to the undead horde. They deserved Halloween, too, you know? You gotta pander to the masses.
You gotta spread the love.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Why should the living enjoy Halloween every year? The dead, they gotta get some quote-unquote candy as well.
Mm.
Yeah, true. Maybe next year they'll actually learn how to pronounce trick-or-treat. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the hordes. The stupidest of zombies tend to gather in the hordes. So
yeah.
You have a zombie by itself that you're in for a surprise.
I mean, you and I are special zombies. Obviously, me being double zombie and you being witch-doctored zombie. But, yeah. I mean, the other guys...
Not to mention you're also European. So
yeah, of course. Helpful. And I'm a Viking, so I'm extra brutal. But the other guys are just so... I don't know. I don't want to hurt their feelings, but considering they probably don't have any feelings, I think I can say they're so boring. They do is stand around there and, you know, moan and claw with their hands.
Yeah. Shuffle, brains. Come on.
Exactly. So, you know,
I want to see someone move awkwardly and moan all the time. I'll go see the hookers on Times Square.
Yeah. But
anyway, do we have are we going to do news at some point here?
I was pretty sure we were just going to talk about this for an hour, but
it is Halloween after all.
It would be nice, but we do have some good news this week. I would be remiss if we didn't pick up on this.
Yeah.
So why don't we start off good? One of my Halloween gifts came early this year. Bethesda and Obsidian launched Fallout New Vegas. I loved playing it for the 15 minutes of odd time that it wouldn't bug or freeze out, but it's still a very excellent game on its merits outside of the technical issues. And for those that are hung up on the technical issues, Obsidian has released a statement saying that patch is coming. So
it's already been released for consoles, I think, the patch.
There's going to be another patch.
Oh, okay.
There's pretty significant flaws in that game. Sadly, kind of odd because the engine's getting old. But I'm getting off Getting off on a tangent here. Getting off on a tangent.
Yep.
Not too much, though. We have another news story about in the Fallout universe here. We have Fallout Online news, and that is the best news of them all. Project V13 has gotten pretty much a strong enough confirmation, not having to, anything to do with a trailer. It is supposedly set for release in the second half of 2012. What took it so long? Of course, well, if you've been following Elder Geek and Elder Speak, you've known that Bethesda and Interplay have had some pretty significant financial and legal issues in terms of the Fallout license. And from what it seems here, if they're giving us even a tentative release date, it looks like if it's not fixed now, it's definitely on the road to being fixed enough for it to release. And they'll just work out the how to do the compensation afterwards, but the consumer wins. So who's going to live in the post-apocalyptic world with me? Who's going to go to the wasteland with me?
Trevor?
I'm up for it. You know, it would lend itself. Fallout just screams to be MMO. Like,
really?
Just playing by yourself. In my opinion, like, whenever I play with myself, I'm like, man, I just wish I had some buddy here. Have they said, like, how they're going to implement the online system? Like, if it's going to be...
We have no details right now.
Okay. And it won't be like this probably, but I almost see it being, if it could go Borderlands style, like four friends limit, I think I'd be a lot more into it than like massive everybody's in this one.
It does look like it's going to go MMORPG route though, so hopefully they'll be able to implement it a bit better than many believe it to be.
Well, the thing I have, basically the same argument as Trevor, I always envisioned both Fallout and Oblivion to be, you know, I would really like some good co-op in that game, but I don't want to go raiding or you know...
Grinding?
Yeah, grinding and stuff like that. Well, you do grind to some extent in Fallout, but... actually, you don't do. So what I really want is, like Trevor, I want a couple of friends that I can go and quest with. And you know, from start to finish the story with them. I do not want, you know, a chat system. I don't want an auction house. I don't want any of the classic MMO features. And so I'm a bit scared, to be honest, that they won't give me Fallout with co-op, but instead they'll give me Fallout MMO, which I don't really want. So.
Well, I mean, it could still work, granted, if it builds itself more, not on the WoW line, but more of the Korean market line, where it's less about grinding and level raising, more of exploration and user-generated narrative. If that could work, I mean, even in WoW, you get some dedicated players, just give me a couple dozen, and you can create an entire server, multiple servers, of really deep RPG gameplay, just with no input from the creators whatsoever. It's really choose your own adventure, which I think that would be perfect. And as long as we get that basic world that functions and get a player base up, then you're going to be able to do that. I would like a persistent kind of campaign, but with an MMO structure, I doubt that's going to work. Unless, of course, you get your friends together and say, we're going to do a consistent campaign. Let's all come from the same vault. And then you're going to dedicate yourself to doing that on your own merit.
Well, the problem is with MMOs and consistent campaigns is the same problem that WoW is having right now is that you got a progression in the story with expansions and everything and stuff happening in the world and stuff changing the environment in the world, but they can't change it forever. It has to return the way it was before you completed the quest because it has to stay synchronized with all the other players on the server. And so if you, say, do something that causes a tree to blow up, a giant tree to blow up, then that tree will blow up on your screen, but it'll only stay blowed up for about a minute or so, and then it'll magically, you know, fade into existence again.
Respawn.
And so, you know, in single-player games, that's not a problem. You can return to that after 200 hours of game time, and it'll still be blown up. But in an MMO, it has to be consistent, because you have hit detection and stuff like that. So it has to be consistent with everyone else. And that's really why I don't think huge, epic campaigns work in MMOs, and could ever work in MMOs.
I think the better question is, like, and what I'm more interested in is whether or not there'll be a PvP experience, because I can see that either being, like, the most griefing, intensive PvP experience, or the most well implemented, by like the faction system that kind of exists in, New Vegas. I can see roaming the wasteland and, bands of, players just duking it out, just crazy. Or I can see people just, as you wander, you know, around the wasteland, one person just sniping you from a mile away in VATS or something.
Well, you
definitely really don't think VATS could work.
Yeah, because then it freezes time and, you know. You can't freeze time, and our player will suddenly have to wait for you to make a decision on which body part to shoot. So.
Although they could do something.
I'm going to get into it like Fallout 1 and 2. It's going to be like Diablo, but...
Yeah.
Okay, what? I'm calling it. You heard it here first.
Okay, well, either way, however it turns out, it's coming, so make sure to expect that. We're gonna move on here from Bethesda and the MMO PC space to Nintendo. We haven't heard much from Nintendo in terms of actually talking, specifically on this subject. Nintendo has always been kind of sketchy on their view of Apple and the iPhone, especially when it comes to being a competitor or a rival. They've always kind of been standoffish. They dismissed the question until now. We have a Forbes interview with Reggie Fils-Aimé, Nintendo of America president, and I'll just read his quote here, and it's an interesting bit of discussion that will result, hopefully. Quoting Fils-Aimé here, "Do I think that in the near term they can hurt us, meaning Apple, more than Microsoft? Absolutely. It's all about time. I compete with Zynga. I compete with surfing the internet. I compete with the newspaper." So right now, Nintendo is saying that the Apple, they perceive more of a threat than the 360. So intriguing. Monts, your reaction here.
I think that for Nintendo to have Apple as a legitimate competitor, Nintendo would have to launch something that competes with the iPhone. Because the DS currently does pretty much none of the features that the iPhone does. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't call someone, you can't access... Well, you can access the internet, but it's a really poor service, and the antenna in the DSi is pretty abysmal. Same with the DSi XL. So, mm-hmm. You know, I can see them being, you know, on the radar of Nintendo more, but I wouldn't call them competitors right now, at least.
Well, what about the upcoming 3DS? It has many features, watching movies, it's probably going to have a stronger internet connection, bigger hard drive, so it definitely looks like they're going in the route of iPhone, at least more so than they have.
Yeah, I still think the PSP is more of a direct competitor, though. I still think people consider that more of a handheld gaming device. I mean, you have a bunch of games and a bunch of people game on the iPhone, but it's not a handheld gaming device. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. And until Nintendo does...
I think you're looking at it a little wrong, actually, Mott.
Yeah?
I think you're looking at it from the wrong angle. I see it more as, in the nicest way possible, I guess. The DS is a casual gaming system, marketed towards the casual player. And from a gaming standpoint, the iPhone is a casual, let's say, gaming system marketed to a casual person.
Mm.
I'd say that those two markets actually clash very well, because the PSP, I hate saying the word hardcore, but is more of a hardcore system.
Yeah.
If you're getting a PSP because you want to play like the really lengthy name titles. If you're getting the DS, usually you want to play some of the smaller things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, traditionally, if you are a casual player. I've spent quite a few hours on Professor Layton and Phoenix Wright. So.
And they're both great games, don't get me wrong, but casual games at heart.
I am not the core DS demographic, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that standpoint, I think they're directly competitors, more so than the PSP.
Mm. I would actually go with more Trevor here. I mean, not so much, though. I mean, they still view Sony as a competitor within their current space, because they haven't branched out yet. It's not too much of a competitor because they're selling software up the butt, and Sony still has so much piracy issues that it makes the DS pale in comparison. But in terms of looking towards the future, I definitely think Apple is going to be more of a rival than Sony for actually reasons that you've stated in the past couple of issues, Mots. We're coming to the era of singular devices, and Nintendo definitely appears to be going in that direction. We're not going to get the phone for right now. They definitely don't appear to be that way, but they're definitely trying to be the major device that's in there. Maybe you have a BlackBerry and you have a DS or something like that. But in terms of direct competitor coming up, yeah, I definitely think Apple is more significant to the Nintendo bottom line than Sony or Microsoft, especially considering that within what had to be a space of a couple months, I believe the iPhone 4 sold about 14.1 million units, although it could be another SKU of the iPhone, whereas it took the DS, which arguably is the highest selling system this generation, almost a year to get that same amount.
Mm.
So in terms of going, you know, dollar for dollar, unit for unit, Apple's already so far ahead of Nintendo that they're I would definitely see them as, you know, shaking in their boots a bit, but and they still have a good enough hold on their space right now, at least for the next couple of not couple of years, but definitely for the next fiscal year. It's when the 3DS comes and hits its own that they're going to be definitely looking towards Apple.
Yeah, definitely. I think I agree with you now. I just didn't see it from that angle. On that related note, however, I think it's important to mention how, you know, we got a bit more news out of, well, not out of Sony, but about the alleged PSP phone this
That's
week.
That's true.
And that definitely looks like an iPhone. So.
Yeah, it looks like an Android.
Or the equivalent, and actually that's the rumor, it will be an Android-powered one with the Sony Ericsson line, which seems to be the smartest move for Sony.
Yeah, I think that's it.
But not to be confused with PSP 2, which they've said it is not. There's a separate device, supposedly.
They called it something like the Zeus or something, I think, so far. But, I mean, it has the face buttons and the directional buttons and
they
two
have
supplements.
They do not. It has a touchpad that acts as, you know, a virtual
analog
stick.
Yeah.
For the phone, at least. The PSP 2 rumor does have a two
analog
sticks.
Have you been keeping track of the PSP 2 rumors? The PSP 2 is starting to sound like if you had like a child and he was explaining to you the game system he would make. It's like it's got touchscreen on the back and dual analog sticks and the screen's huge and it's more powerful than the 360.
I'm gonna say though that if this PSP phone happens, if this is real, the PSP phone, that is PSP 2. There's not gonna be a PSP phone and a PSP 2. It's just going to be one device.
Well, I mean, Sony has, you know, made the mistake of releasing two skewed branded products within the same market. I mean, that's what the PSP Go is. So I can definitely see them releasing the PSP 2, then releasing the PSP phone, and then going, holy shit, one's selling a million a month, one's selling 300,000. We're going to discount the PSP 2 $50 and kind of shove it to the side with the PSP Go while we pursue the PSP phone. So I can definitely see them making a mistake. This is Sony, after all, Sony hardware.
Yeah.
So definitely expect them to
make
that mistake.
Macintosh, which has more money than God, is rumored to maybe be looking into buying Sony, or at least a piece of Sony.
In terms getting into the gaming development, or EA, I believe is also the rumor. So
I don't think you think EA could afford Sony?
No. Apple's looking to buy either Sony or EA.
Oh, okay. I was starting to wonder.
Yeah, they allegedly have I forgot the number. It's like $3 billion in liquid funds, like in cash in a bank, and they just want to spend it on something.
Mm.
And the rumor is going to be either Sony, which would be interesting.
Which would kill everything else. If Sony teams up with Apple, Nintendo and Microsoft are dead.
Within the next few years, they will
annihilate everyone.
I really don't want any major publisher or hardware holder to team up with Apple. I really don't want that to happen.
When it would be a complete absorption.
Yeah.
Apple has the tendency to completely absorb its subsidiaries and then adopt them into the proprietary Apple format.
Yeah.
I view personally as very hazardous for developers and consumers. So, I'm praying that Apple decides to just go and have a really good holiday in the for their entire staff.
Here's the thing: anything Apple makes is just going to be available for Apple products. Apple's not going to make something for 360 or for Windows. No. Anything they make is just going to be Apple products available. So
Sony's business the direct antithesis to Apple's business policy, so I can't really see that happening.
It would be EA if they are going to buy someone, but we'll see. Again, yeah. We haven't been talking about solid news items for quite some time now. This has all been rumors. So why don't we head back into solid figures here? I actually have a segue here from EA in terms of rumors with Apple to EA and Zynga, or Zynga, or however the hell you want to pronounce it for your own personal pleasure. We have some stock analysis here from SharesPoint, and you'll be interested to know Zynga, which has been around for 4 years. It is a privately held firm style of stock trading, is valued at $5.51 billion. That is significantly more than Electronic Arts, which you would think that has been around for over a decade. I think it's going to have its 20th, or if it hasn't, it'll have it soon. So this is pretty surprising for what is considered an upstart company in terms of trading terms to be valued above Electronic Arts. Now, it's not too much of a big lead. Electronic Arts is $5.16 billion. But again, this is 20 years of experience versus 4. And of course, Zynga is still beneath Activision Blizzard significantly, which has a total stock value of $13.9 billion. But still, for the main point here is Zynga is beating out everything but Activision Blizzard in the gaming community. And for a social game maker, that's pretty significant.
I don't think it's necessarily that they sell more. I think it's that the cost of production for them is so low that they don't have to sell that much.
Oh, yeah, they have the best returns in the industry right now. They have the best. Their cost of development and their gains, their profit margin is gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about the process, but EA's licensing costs alone are probably
huge.
A huge chunk of their annual profit.
And granted, they do make a lot of that back, but with EA Sports by itself, that the licensing costs alone, they have Madden down, they have pretty much every single sport league tied exclusively to them. And in an era where they can't even get the major console franchises to stay exclusive, EA has to be coughing up some major buck to keep sports franchises to themselves. So it's not too hard to believe, but again, Zynga beat everybody except Activision.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there you go. I mean, that shows you just how much you can do with very little.
I mean, I think I read a story recently, and it was related, I read it because it was like two Norwegians or something who bought stock in Zynga, like the first month or something. And they used what's like $100 or something on the stocks, and now they're millionaires just based on that little piece of stock. So
Now millionaires in Norwegian money?
In America, they are multi millionaires in Norwegian.
That's like you guys trade snow or something, don't you?
well, one kroner, which is like the dollar for us, is it's like or 7 kroners is $1, I think. So, yeah.
Okay, I know that from Stieg Larsson's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, because I'm
you're a worldly individual, Trevor.
Yep.
Thank you.
And Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is a good movie that gets my recommendation. So you guys,
I want to see it. I want to finish the book series first. I'm on the last one.
That's Swedish, though, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know. The guy's dead. I don't know.
Yes, it is Swedish as opposed to Norwegian. But
it's almost the same thing.
Between Swedish and Norwegian to American and Norwegian, there's a much smaller cultural gap, I'd imagine.
Well, we speak the same language and everything, so. Yeah, basically the same politics and all that stuff. Yep.
Well, okay, Trevor. We're gonna move on here to, again, we're gonna go back into the realm of rumors. And going back to the one thing I've been interested for Blizzard for the past couple of years now, ever since playing Diablo 2 for the 40th time, literally. We may, again, we're returning to the rumor that Diablo 3 may be coming to consoles. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you may be thinking, God, come on, Diablo 2, they're not good on consoles. It's just not going to happen. Activision Blizzard has way too much invested in the PC market. Now, you may be right. However, many of you may not realize that the original Diablo was released for PlayStation in 1998.
That's true.
So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. And like every analyst from Michael Pachter to me says, branching out to more platforms equals more units sold, equals more money, equals a greater bottom line, which, especially with Activision now looking over Blizzard's shoulder, is the ultimate goal. So cross fingers on this one, because my PC can barely run anything. I'd like to have it. I would probably do a 360 for Diablo 3, or actually PS3 for free online, but that's just me. Mots, would you prefer Diablo 3 on console, or are you gearing up your PC for it?
Well, I have a beast of a PC, so obviously I would play it on PC. And I'll say this, if any Blizzard franchise was going to work on consoles, it would be Diablo. I just don't think Blizzard is interesting in doing that. I mean, Activision probably is, just to make money. But it seems to me that Blizzard, they have enough money. It feels like they think, at least. I mean, you can always say, you know, they have to increase their stock margin and all that stuff. But, I mean, they canceled StarCraft Ghost because they didn't think it was awesome enough. They said it was pretty good, but it wasn't to their standards. I don't think they really care enough about profits to hurt their brand potentially through a
definitely
lesser clone on a console. And it,
I definitely
let's be honest,
think
it,
they prioritize like that.
Yeah. So I mean, let's be honest, it would probably be, you know, inferior to the PC version, no matter how much you tinker with it. If Activision pushes them enough, I can see it happening. I just don't think Blizzard wants this to happen. I don't see it. They don't need it. They have a huge, huge PC market.
Trevor?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with him. I can see it happening, but especially with Blizzard's need to control their servers, all the way down to like the forums, I can't see them just letting any game of theirs run free over different IPs like that. It would be a fun game on consoles, but I agree. I don't think they need to, and they know they don't need to. It's like StarCraft. StarCraft could have come out for the consoles, but it just doesn't need to. And I don't see them investing funds into server maintenance and reworking things for consoles when they could just scoop up a ton of cash on the PC.
And
that is definitely true.
What surprised me about StarCraft is that Blizzard must have the best engineers in the world, because I played it on my roommate's laptop, which is 5 years old, on max settings, and it didn't lag. They have no really. You can't go into advanced settings on StarCraft, but it looks, you know, even on the lowest settings, it looks amazing. So they have some sort of
tricks. Yeah, that's how they design.
Yeah, so they have some sort of trick that makes their games look amazing, even though, you know, you're running it on a crappy computer. So I don't think they're too worried about, you know, people with low-end PCs being alienated.
I
like credit for that, too, especially since so many PC developers now, the PC developers are what's killing PC gaming with their need to push the limits of everyone's PC, you know, to the highest level possible so that it has to be upgraded constantly to keep up with these things. And Blizzard has always done a very good job with understanding that in order to hit every person's wallet, we have to develop something that will work across all these medias, assuming we're considering computers separate medias. And they've done that really good their whole existence. It's one thing, not a huge Blizzard fan, but you gotta give them credit for doing that.
Yep. Personally, for me, that's why on my PC, which is on the lower end of the spectrum, the gaming on the PC for me for the past couple of years has been all consumed with the independent space, with people making just games for the PC, just optimized only for the controls rather than the platform, which works great for me and acts as a perfect segue into our next news topic. See what I did there. You may be not thinking it's too relevant or important in the grand scheme of the gaming universe, but considering that how many fan remakes have been shot down by the publisher, I mean, just off the top of my head, the Chrono Trigger fan remake, Anything from Blizzard has had about three fan mods that got turned down before Dota became popular. Most of it comes from the modding community, and a lot of it is shot down. However, Gearbox Interactive has made itself known as, you know, a pretty lenient people. Granted, you can't make money off it, but apparently we have a group of fans here to make a Duke Nukem 3D remake, just dubbed Duke Nukem Next Gen for current specs under the Unreal Engine 3. This is a complete remodeling. I'm pretty sure they're going to keep to the same level design and everything like that. They're just doing a nice HD wash to it, and surprisingly, they're not getting shot down and sued. They're actually being endorsed as long as it remains a not-for-profit item, which means hopefully they're intending it to take about 12 months. They've only been in the planning stage for about a month now, so I don't think it'll be able to be included in Duke Nukem Forever when it releases next year, however, maybe in the Game of the Year edition if it gets the awards. But this time next year, 2011, we're going to have Duke Nukem 3D Next Gen Fan Remake awesomeness. So, pretty cool. Moths, you happy?
Hell yeah. It's not because I want to play the game. It's because I want to see more developers and publishers do this. It's this whole, I can't remember which company came up with the line, just the business line, don't be evil. But it just, it fits perfectly into what Gearbox is doing. Just, why not? They're not going to make it. No one's going to play the old version. These guys aren't going to charge for the game. It's just, why deny people the pleasure of playing a game and making a game that they really want to make? Mm-hmm. It's just, why? There's no reason not to do it. And a lot of these projects that have been happening, there was one for Morrowind a couple of years ago with Bethesda, and people were building the whole Morrowind game in the new Oblivion engine, whatever it's called, Game Bureau, I think. And even though they allow mods, they wouldn't allow that mod because it featured original content from their game. And no one is buying Morrowind these days. And if they are, it's like dirt cheap on Steam. So just why not? Why not do this? I want to see more developers do this. I think it's an awesome idea.
Yeah, I agree. So much, especially like, I think back on the games that were just being made by fans that disappeared that I wanted so bad. You look back, there was the Chrono Trigger remake that they were making that got shut down. There was GoldenEye Source, the new Sonic remake of the first one that's being done by fans, which supposedly played like infinitely better than Sonic 4. There's just so many of these that just get killed and look so great. And I'm so happy to see at least one developer go, hey, we're not making any more money on this IP, and these guys will just make it and put it out, and at the very least it'll stir up interest in our current gen stuff.
Yep.
Let them do it. It just seems like such a no-brainer. If you're not planning on remaking it yourself, just let somebody do it.
Yeah. Rock on. Rock on. I completely agree. And I think that's a good enough kibosh for that one. We're moving on here. Now, one of the things that people are actually happy with Sony about, which is a rare thing these days, is HD Remake Collections. We have God of War Collection. We're going to have the Ikkyo and Shadow of the Colossus Collection. And Sly Collection. So a lot of HD Remake Collections are coming to town. And one may think that, like most things in the industry, if it makes money, you'll see a lot of copiers, specifically between the top three. Microsoft, however, does not see it this way, at least right now. They have come out, Phil Spencer, executive vice president, said that there are no current plans at HD remakes of first-party software, which would mostly be Fable, Halo, and the like. They just don't see it as a decent enough return of profit, among other things. We have the link to the interview as a whole and the relevant responses on the site for you to look at. But it seems to me an odd decision for Microsoft to make, considering the low effort-to-profit ratio. But that's me. Trevor, what do you think?
What would they even remake? I mean, honestly.
You have Halo.
I feel like they're putting a holier-than-thou attitude on the front of a we-don't-got-shit attitude.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do have Halo Combat Evolved. They have the original Fable. And pretty much they can...
Do Halo, you have to redo servers.
That is true.
You do Fable, Fable, they're still, I don't know how to put this in the right way.
It wasn't that Fable, great.
Yeah, but, that's what I wanted to say. Fable's kind of shit. It's got some good stuff in it, but no one's like, remember Fable? That was the best game ever. But I mean,
you guys are hurting my feelings.
No, the first one, the second and the third one looked awesome, but the first one, to be honest, wasn't that great.
It was decent, but yeah, I get your point.
It was a breakout IP, so yeah. The second one, was good, but I mean, none of them were game changing, despite what Molyneux might say. but I mean, what other IPs do they even have to put forward? Microsoft didn't make much. Are they gonna make, I can't even think of something. Viva the Pinata collection in HD?
Well, they do have Rare, so that if they wanted to, they could release, you know, old Rare games.
They couldn't. That belongs to Nintendo.
That's true. Some of the backlog.
Yeah.
And what they have is not necessarily that decent.
Yeah. Well, I also want to say that, you know, even though Sony is doing PS2 games at the moment, The original Xbox was significantly more powerful than the PS2. I don't even think you need to remake the old Xbox games. They'd still look kind of good.
Yep. So, I just think you need to open up a backwards compatibility with the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
They need to get my Blinks HD remix.
You're sure. Like Blinks, right? Yeah, I played that totally.
How about Fusion Frenzy HD remix?
Did they ever get to do Perfect Dark?
Not that I know.
Never. So
I have to think there was an Xbox Perfect Dark. I don't remember though.
Yeah. Well, I
believe so. I think they did a HD wash for Xbox Live at least.
Okay.
Might have been it.
I might actually check that out, because that would be one I want out of Rare.
Yeah, I really can't think of, like, what, other than Halo, what is the Xbox? Like, what is their...
Well, they do have Conker. They did release, a beefed-up version of Conker's Bad Fur Day for the original Xbox, I suppose. Depending on the current state of that IP with Rare, that could be done. But otherwise, yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's their reasoning, more so than we don't want to bleed your wallets because we're good guys. I really think that they just, if they had the IPs to put out, I think they'd do it, but they don't. So, well for them.
Yep. That is true. Okay, let's head on here. We still have a few more to go, and we're running out of time. We're going to head back to Bethesda, or at least their parent company, ZeniMax Media. They have made an interesting acquisition. They have been quite active in terms of company buying out recently. And they've added a surprise one to their latest development arm, Tango Gameworks. For those of you not familiar, that is Shinji Mikami's home studio. So now they are attached to ZeniMax and will be working with Bethesda and id Softworks. And also, at that point, this also means they'll get access to the latest id technology in terms of servers, which is awesome. Mats?
Yeah. Yes, it is awesome. I think so, at least. I think it's good to see ZeniMax branch out, I think. Especially when it comes to quality, guys. You know, I wasn't too much of a fan of Wet. But I think Bethesda and ZeniMax, I think they could be a good publisher. And it certainly looks like they're building up to be something of a powerhouse of a publisher. And I really hope they have the id guys now, and they have these guys, and they have some other small development studios. So it's looking like maybe ZeniMax is going to be the next Ubisoft or something. And I think, you know, they certainly have the potential to be a great publisher. So beyond that, I mean, I can't really say much. We don't really know much about the game he's making. But I think it's a good sign.
We do know it's going to try and be a true 3D horror game.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Trevor?
I don't have much to say about it. I'll I'll keep it brief. I'm excited. Let's see what they do. As long as Bethesda doesn't hit him with the fuck stick, we should all be happy.
Well, I mean, but ZeniMax has been pretty active in just buying out the studio, propping it up, and keeping current management, which is ideally the way you should be doing regardless. So hopefully this doesn't affect Tango in terms of end result IP damage, but we will see. I'm looking forward to Mikami's take on the true 3D horror experience.
Yeah, I just really want Bethesda to update their engine. That's
I think there was a news release saying they bought a new one. I don't know what it was.
Well, yeah, they have access to id, and they'll be getting exclusive access to id's new servers. So that should be the upgrade. That one,
the next Elder Scrolls game, I believe, too.
Yep. Awesome. Awesomeness all around.
With
sorry,
co-op.
Dogs. Indeed. Well, moving on to a game that's in development that we know a little bit more about, though not much. We have a second MMO from Blizzard. That's right. The company that probably never needs to make another MMO in the history of ever is making another MMO. We don't have much on it, except for its confirmed development. Mike Morhaime, the Blizzard president, has spoke to Game Trailers, saying that we are currently working on a second MMO. Very blunt of him. We're thinking of it as a sort of next-generation MMO. It's not a sequel to World of Warcraft. We wanted to try something a bit different. That's it. They're not trying to replace it. They're not trying to compete with it. Just something new and different from Blizzard. And I'm intrigued, although probably not going to buy any game because I'm not a big MMO guy. But, Mons, what are you thinking here? What do you think it could be? Do you think it's a good idea?
I mean, go Blizzard. They can do no wrong in my book. Say what you want about WoW, but bottom line, it's a good game. It's just play any game for hundreds of hours and you'll grow sick of it. So it's a very good game. Diablo is obviously a great game, so is StarCraft. I just, whatever they make is bound to be at least great, if not amazing. I'm hoping it's a new IP. I don't want them to make StarCraft into an MMO. I don't want them to make Diablo into an MMO. Because at that point, then they're just making all their franchises into MMOs. So I don't want that. I also want them to make Warcraft 4, but that's never going to happen. I can't wait to see what it is. I bet it's a new IP. I bet they develop something completely fresh, and I bet it's going to be successful.
Good for them, you know. It's totally Warcraft 2, though. World of Warcraft 2, I'm just telling you. He's lying. It's totally World of Warcraft 2. No, I have to imagine that they gotta do something new. I really can't see him doing StarCraft MMO this soon after StarCraft 2. If it's new, good, they make money. Hopefully they'll do something semi-revolutionary, because they're kind of decent at that from time to time. To address Mott's comment of you play a game for hundreds of hours, you'll get bored of it. Monster Hunter's still playing it 800 hours. Come on. But
dude, I know people who have played it for hundreds of days, so yeah.
It's now the most played game on the Wii. They've beaten out all other games, including Brawl, in hours played, and Animal Crossing.
In America or worldwide?
Yeah, and it's not cool. In America.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That would be impressive if I cared anything about Monster Hunter.
Look at that. Little dick.
Well, I mean, Monster Hunter is pretty similar to an MMO, so... Yep. Yeah.
Except awesome, right? Right, AirPods.
Yeah, moving on.
Move on.
We got one news story today, and unfortunately it's a bit of a downer considering, depending on your position here.
Yeah, disregard all the others.
Oh yeah. Kaiji Inafune, who you may know as the creator of the Mega Man series and producer of Dead Rising, Lost Planet, and Onimusha franchises, just to name his most basic byline, has announced on his personal blog that he is leaving Capcom, his home for quite a few years. Effectively today, meaning the time of this recording, was his final day in office. odd considering last April, this past April, he was named Global Head of Production at Capcom, which is pretty much one of the highest offices in the land. He was priorly the head of research and development. We don't know what he's doing next, or even if he's in the game industry anymore. He said he wants to start his life over. So
I predict EA partners.
EA partners, Mats? That's what you're going to go on the record?
Yeah, let's say EA partners or Cinemax. Just all the Japanese guys moving to EA or Bethesda.
Inafune would be a pretty good get to anyone that anyone in the acquisition mood.
Yeah.
But Trevor, what's your prediction?
I feel like we saw this coming a little bit. From a lot of the stuff he said, no one listens to him at Capcom. Like, everyone just ignores him.
So was Mega Man World or Mega Man Universe a cry for help?
Yes, that was him. That was him screaming for help. And most people know I'm a huge Mega Man fan. Like, that's my favorite series of all time. But you know, are we all going to be terribly upset to see him go somewhere else and make a brilliant new game and then run it into the ground? I love the guy, but he's good for one-shot ideas and then just killing things with repetitive releases.
Ouch. Ouch, dude.
I'm real, man. Just saying it like it is. I mean, do you kind of get that from him, though? I mean, Mega Man, we brilliant, brilliant game-breaking series. There's 11 install or 10 installments. I don't know what they're at now.
I mean, they have all these Mega Man X's and stuff.
Well, technically, counting all of his appearance, Mega Man has been in over 100 games.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
He's a very old school style of developer. That's what you did. You had one idea, and you made as many sequels as possible. Mega Man was a brilliant idea.
The problem of making a brilliant idea and then having people take it away from him and not listen to anything he says anymore.
Yeah, that is a problem.
One of the problems he has.
He's not one of these powerhouses who just says fuck you and does whatever he wants, it seems like.
Yeah, he's not Itagaki-san.
Yeah.
Or Kojima.
Yeah.
But he's still Inafune, which is still awesome. But it's sad to see him go, but we're interested to see where he's going to end up. I have no predictions. I have absolutely no idea where he could be. But it will be interesting to see if he's even in the industry. My guess, if someone wants to start his life over, it's probably not a good bet to say he's going to remain in the industry unless someone comes up with a pretty damn good contract.
I think you're overestimating what he means by that. I don't think he's going to leave the industry because, honestly, what would you do? I mean, he's not retired. He's not old enough to be retired. So, he's certainly rich enough. But so I'm guessing he's moving. I mean, that's starting anew. He's moving to the West, perhaps.
Well, in that case, giving that prediction, I'm going to branch off and say my prediction, which is a little bit off the wall here. I like to make those and then never get right, but still make the fun ones. If he's moving out to the West, if that is true, he's probably going to go to level 5. They just open up a new office, and they're branching out. They branched out to Capcom, but they're still in very much a kind of collaborative state. So he would be a good get for level 5 if he wants to go out that way.
Mm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can see him going anywhere.
I mean, even an American-owned developer.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any history of this guy, what he does in this, what this he does would do in this sort of situation, because he's always been at Capcom as far as we're concerned.
So 23 years.
Yeah, so he could do anything.
Yep.
But I'm guessing EA partners. Seriously.
Yep.
I mean, we have 3 major Japanese developers going to EA partners. So
that is true.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, there he is. Why don't you guys put up your productions on the site for us to see? Maybe one of you guys will get it right. We'll give you a prize. But until then, that is all for the news.
We are pretty much done. All for the show.
Yep, just make sure to check out the massive amount of video reviews that are on the site and on the way.
Oh, shit. What the fuck was that?
What was that, dude?
I have no idea. Something just fell from above.
Ah, great.
God hates me. Yes, check out the massive amount of video reviews we have on YouTube. Check out the Friday Night Creature feature. Today's entry will be, or Friday's entry, you'll hear this on Monday, I think, will be Saw. Mm-hmm. Have been Saw. And we have a bunch of cool features. We have some industry insider features. We have some getting to know your
geek stuff. If you want to check that out,
yeah, exactly.
No, that's okay. You guys don't need to check that out. Not at all. No. Anyone with Trevor in the title, you don't need to check out.
Yeah.
Rambling and yelling, so.
And most importantly, I am disappointed in you guys. We still are nowhere near the first achievement for our charity New Vegas Marathon. We are currently.
Brandon hasn't started yet, but.
No, but you can donate. You can donate and just make sure that once we start, we are at least playing for a significant amount of time. Or Randy is, that is. We are currently $283. That's not bad. That's pretty good. But we could be a lot higher, so I want you guys there and donate. And it doesn't matter if you're not rich. I mean, donate $1. Just show, because we have 7 contributors right now, just show that you care. And so if we have, you know, $1,000 but 200 donators, then that is awesome.
Yep, and... That it's for Child's Play, guys. We have a profile of the charity on the site for you to check out. It is a magnificent, magnificent charity. So make sure to there and you know come out or at least tune in for the actual marathon. It should be interesting. Especially if we get to the point where Randy has to give himself a Wasteland Mohawk.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for that. I'll donate just to see that.
I think everyone should definitely make sure that he has to do that.
Indeed, at least.
Right now, I think Randy is sort of hoping that he won't have to. And I don't want to say that because he's evil and he doesn't want to give kids their consoles and games and stuff like that. But I really don't think he wants to do that. So go there and donate and comment and keep this thing alive.
Mm-hmm.
The kids need you.
Kids need you.
Yep. All right. Goodbye.
Later.
Chief, can you hear me?